Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Take your Bibles out and turn to the book of Proverbs in chapter 3. Proverbs in chapter 3. We're going to read those first 10 verses. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. It says, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with thy first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine."
Father in heaven, we pray your blessing upon the word of God, that which has been read and that which is going to be expounded, going to be exegeted, that scripture passage that you have laid on our hearts this morning. God, we pray for understanding. And again, may the Holy Spirit be our teacher and our preacher. And Lord, just get me out of the way and do your work this day. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. Hey, was there a special number this morning? No? Okay. Yeah, no. I got it all backwards. Never mind, all right? I am getting old. Friday night, we had a birthday party here. You know what? 80 years old for Marilyn Mackey. It's amazing. I've seen some miracles in my life. There are some miracles I haven't seen. I wasn't there when the Red Sea parted, but I was there the night that Marilyn Mackey was speechless. Caught her completely by, I mean, she had nothing to say for a while. Then she regathered herself and then she had some things to share. Yes, that's a fact. Been a rough week on your preacher, on old Tim Rader, and actually a lot of things have gone wrong. But I want to testify before I kind of bare my heart here this morning. I want to get into the Bible. I want to testify and let you know that right or wrong, good times or bad, God is still good. God is still in control. And just like we sang this morning in the song service, if we would just be smart enough to follow Him, if we would just be so, we're so such a willful people many times, if we would allow the Lord Jesus Christ to shepherd us like He promises to do, everything's going to be all right. And so my text this morning is not an unfamiliar text. So I apologize if you read it sometime recently, and I don't apologize for the Bible, but I just trust that God is going to take over in the message this morning. I don't have a big outline here, but I got this text all over my heart, all right? Romans in chapter 8. Romans in chapter 8. We're going to see a lot of people saved this fall. There's no doubt in my mind. We've had a wonderful summer. If you just think back in hindsight, how many times have we had a small crowd this summer? Man, it just really hasn't happened. How many times, you know, the summer slump, the proverbial summer slump. We didn't experience it here. We had a couple of downer Sundays, but nothing terrible. Sunday night has been nothing short of miraculous. Truthfully, the biggest Sunday night crowds we've ever had. I could count on one hand, and maybe none. I really don't remember any. A Sunday night of less than 300 people. It's been amazing. It really has. Now, I know the book of Revelation has got something to do with that. I'm preaching chapter by chapter through the book of Revelation. Again, tonight, Revelation 14. Five angels of Revelation chapter 14. You come tonight. I know it's Labor Day weekend. If we're ever going to have a down crowd, it will be tonight. By the way, I got to say this. Choir practice. We have choir practice at 5:30. Just a reminder. Just people that just kind of float around and show up. All right, we've got to practice. We've got a song we're practicing. We need you there, 5:30. Okay, all right. I'm not chewing you out. Yes, I am. I'm chewing you up. 5:30 tonight. Romans in chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. This church has become, over the years, an evangelistic center. We see people saved here all of the time. Praise God for the gospel being so clear and so simplistic that even a child can come to Christ that understands the gospel. It's, what a Savior we serve. We've got things in front of us. This brand new school year starts on Tuesday this year. We are doing everything we can. Those that are the powers that be and those that are praying, we're doing everything we can to make Maplewood Baptist Academy the best school in the county, in the state. We're doing everything we can. We made some changes this year. We're moving ahead. We're asking God to continue to bless. But in all of it, in all of the ministries, we need to continue to see people come to Christ. This morning, the grandstand service at the Chippewa County Fair, small crowd, drizzling. My Bible got all wet in the drizzle because I'm outside the roof of the grandstand, and I knew it was going to be a small crowd, but God burdened my heart this morning. You don't know who's going to be there that is not saved. You can't tell who is saved by looking at their faces. Most everybody here looks like they're unsaved half the time when I'm preaching. I look out at you, got a big gruff frown on your face. You can't tell who's not born again. You can't, and some people look like they're born again, but they're not. They have no idea. They're clueless. So it was a smaller crowd, but God burdened my heart. Somebody is going to be there that is not born. Four people got saved this morning. Man, I give God all of the glory. And I say three men and a lady got saved this morning. I thank God for that. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Man, it's good to be saved. For the law of the Spirit of life is in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Freedom from death, freedom from the law in this respect. I can't fulfill it anyway. It was a burden that I couldn't carry. Man, I never even kept the Ten Commandments, the Decalogue. I've broken them. The Bible says whosoever should keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he's guilty of all. So that law, like we read in Galatians, is that schoolmaster to bring sinners to Christ. The audacity for anybody to think for a moment that they are good enough in their own righteousness to work their way to God's perfect heaven. Man, that does not make any sense. That premise is all wrong. What's going on when you think that way is you are comparing yourself with whatever righteousness you see in this broken world. And you're saying, if I can be as good as them, I'm going to go to heaven. That's not how it works. Perfection can only be had in Jesus Christ. I say it like this. Jesus came and he fulfilled the law. So I am free from the power of the law. The law showed me I was a sinner. It allowed me to run to Jesus Christ, the Savior, that visited this world 2,000 years ago and died on Mount Calvary and bled out and rose again on the third day. And he did that as the propitiation of my sins, as my substitute and taking my place. Then that's what the law did, and now I'm in Christ and I'm free in Christ. What a tremendous, that burden is lifted. You can't go 24 hours except you're going to sin by act or by fact or by omission, not doing something you're supposed to do. You can strive for it, and we need to live more like Jesus, and after you get born again, those good works need to be there, but glory to God for grace. Glory to God for his mercy. By the way, you know you find those things out? By reading the Bible. And you ought to be all the way through the book of Genesis. As of Saturday night, you should have been done. Actually, Friday night, as we're reading through the Bible together. Now, you need to get started in the book of Exodus. If you'll do that and you read a little more than the chapter a day, we're going to all get through the book of Exodus in the month of September. So get on it, even if you've fallen by the wayside. Verse 3 says, for what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh. See, the weakness was on my part and on your part. God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. We're free from the power of death. The law has been fulfilled in none other than our Savior, the only begotten Son of God. He died on Mount Calvary that by faith I might be born into the family of God. All of the grace of God, all of the mercy of God. Verse 7 says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. There's a problem, by the way. There's nothing more indefensible than a born-again child of God living like they're dead to God. That is indefensible. To look to the world and run off and be like the world as a child of God. Now, that's flesh. And we all got it. And I understand that. But it's indefensible. We've been made clean through the blood of Christ. Ought not to want to be like the world. Ought not to want to have any desires. But listen, if you're not in this book, if you're in the world, you're going to be like the world. If you're not studying the book, that's why when you see people walking around reading whatever they're going through, other people's business, whatever it is, or they can't get away from their cell phone. It's there. They check it five times an hour. They check it. Some people check it five times every 10 minutes. I mean, it's just an unbelievable addiction. You say, I'm not addicted. Well, prove it. Just prove it, all right? If you would be addicted to the Bible, you'd be a different man. You'd be a different woman. It says here, verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Now, I'm going to read a few more verses, and I'm going to get to where I want to go this morning and plant there. But if I could somehow convey this thought, sinner, saved by grace, not deserving of God's heaven, not deserving of God's love. But Jesus, when he hung on the cross, he did it for me. So when I was in fifth grade as a little boy and bowed my head and opened my heart and repented of my sin and asked Jesus to be my Savior, I was born into the family of God. And it's all of Christ. I've done a lot of sinning since fifth grade. But I'm still in the family of God. It's all of Christ. And I know who I am. And yet, I get to serve God. I'll tell you another thing. I talked to God this morning. I talked to God this morning. It was good. He spoke to me by way of the scripture. Nothing more important than that. It was good. And I get to serve God. I'll say this. You know, I don't think I'm any big stuff. I'm not. I'm a zero with a line rubbed out. You know, I know what I am. But at Marilyn's birthday party, two men made me feel so good. They're from the Sioux. I introduced myself and said, oh, you're the legendary Pastor Rader. And the one guy said legendary a half a dozen times, and I told everybody that heard him, this guy's got problems. this guy's got issues. And they wanted to see the minute, and I showed them the building, you know, we walked around, and they're just marveling at what God has done. Now, they live up in the Sioux, but they're marveling what God has done way out here in the back bush of Kinross, Michigan, you know, and just marveling at it. And they reminded me what a privilege it is to serve God. And I explained it to him a couple of times because I got tired of hearing that word. All right, it ain't me. It's not me at all. And they reminded me, I get to serve God. I said, no, you don't understand. I spent a lot of my life right there on Shunk Road, right there between 3 and 5 Mile, and then we moved to the other end, and now I'm back out in Pickford. Part of my life where I was being raised back out in Pickford. But the fact is, I'll say it like this. I ain't nobody. That's double negative, isn't it? But that's the way I say it. I ain't nobody. I'm really not. God, it is all God. Glory to God. Can you look back in your life and in hindsight give glory to God? We get to serve Him. You understand? I don't have to serve Him. I get to serve Him. I'm a fool if I don't serve Him. I don't have to surrender my life to Him. He gives me a free will, but I get to. And when I do, I'm just overly, my cup runs over. I'm just fully blessed of God. I don't have to. Some people on the outside that are full of themselves, maybe some carnal Christians are thinking, oh, you got to do that. No, I don't. I get to do that. What a privilege. And if I will serve him, and if I will, you see, I am not tied to my past failures. I am not ball and chain connected to my past sins. I've got them, but they're forgiven. They're gone. As far as the east is from the west. Verse 16, I have that assurance. What a difference Christ makes. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. What an assurance. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, this ought to be my life verse. It seems like I've read this so many times in the last 2 years. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And then verses 19 through about verse 25, it talks about the struggle of life, there's an assurance that heaven is around the corner. It's from groans to glory, and a lot of times it's uphill and it's difficult. Let me just read it. I got to read some of it. Verse 18, verse 19, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. We're waiting. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself shall also be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. This earth is just throbbing with heartache. All over the world, all over the planet, and man did it to himself. And culture after culture, and individual after individual, and people after people shake their fist at God, don't even acknowledge him. Or Jesus is coming, tribulation after that, Armageddon after that, millennial kingdom after that. There's some good days ahead. Verse 23 says, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. You understand what the Apostle Paul was saying? In light of the coming storm of the Roman persecution in that first century church, the Apostle Paul says, we're here, we're in the heat of the battle, that the bullets are flying in every direction. It's a hard day to be alive, but we get to serve God, and we're groaning, we're waiting for the day when this, and he uses the word, he tells us, his body, when his body will also be adopted, he'll be like Jesus. That happens at the rapture or at death. You know, and you would get to finally be with the Lord, and our race is run. I was thinking about Floyd Perry this morning when I was praying. He's at home. No more pain in his body. And he's happy. And he knows joy. More joy than he ever. Think about the giddiest moment you had on this earth. Nothing. Wait till you get home to heaven. When all the burden is lifted, all the heartaches are gone, all the trouble, all the worry, all the anxious care, it's all taken care of. And we bask in the presence of our great God and King, Jesus Christ, in the New Jerusalem. What a day that's going to be. Songwriter didn't do it justice. Did a good job, but he didn't do it justice. Let's read on here. For we are saved, verse 24, by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? Why doth he yet hope for? And if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us, groaning with groanings which cannot be uttered. I'm thankful for that. We have a God that's interceding for us. Verse 27 says, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints. according to the will of God. Our Jesus is doing that. He is our great intercessor. Verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good. This is what I wanted to get to. It's a simple thought this morning. I just thought I might want to encourage you today in the Lord. I wanted to help lift your load just a little bit. Maybe some of you are anxious about things you ought not to be anxious about. We talked about that on Wednesday night, being waking up in the middle of the night and you're vulnerable and, you know, and you start worrying about things that most of them never even happen. And you know, just seems like that's the way the devil works all of the time. But verse 28, we are given a promise by God. And all we got to do is follow him. There's a caveat. All things work together for good to them that love God and are the called according to his purpose. According to his purpose. So I'm in God's will. So I'm doing God's work. And I'm seeing God's blessing. And he's good times and bad. Deep water or not. God is good to me. All things work together for good. Got some doctor's bills I didn't expect to get this week. That's kind of a downer. Insurance doesn't cover everything. That's okay. I'm good. Transmission went out in Debbie's car, the Saturn. Okay, all right, that's good. All right, glory to God. You know, no problem. So I've been giving Deb, and my other car's in the shop, and I had given Deb rides back and forth to work, and everything just kind of messed up. My schedule is all messed up because of that, but that's okay. No problem. I'm certainly not going to get bitter about that. And then Pastor Bill and I are back here working on the connector building, and some people are up working up front here in the church too, and I actually saw Debbie through the corner of my eye slowing down, coming into the church parking lot. We're here around the corner, and we heard a crash. And I thought, I actually didn't think anything of it. Truthfully, I thought it was Mike Babcock just throwing something in the back of his pickup. He was up there working. That's good. Glory to God. Thank God for Mike. He's up there working. You know, working a little bit longer, and I thought, I wonder if that was Deb. Walked out around the corner, and she's standing outside the car. Mike's standing. I mean, probably 5 minutes went by, and they're looking at the car, and she hit that post out there. Oh, no. You know, here's what I got to confess to you. I love that car. I brag about that car all the time. You know, $9,000 Cadillac. What a car. It just turned 90,000 miles. That's brand new for me, man. I got that car, and I think it was 56,000 miles. What a cherry. I got it down in Hillsdale, Michigan from an older couple. And, man, I just, no rust, beautiful car. There's no way if it gets total, I get what that car was worth. Man, that had another 120,000 miles in it easy. And it just ran like a top. But I looked over there, and the front smashed, and the front wheel on the right side's going this way, and the front wheel on the left side's going that way. I'm thinking, oh, no. But God is still good. God is still good. But you know the worst part about the whole thing? Yesterday, as hot as it was, all day long, Pastor Bill and I are out here working. And it used to be whatever I said, that was gospel to Pastor Bill. I mean, they say, hey, Bill, go get that over there. Oh, yeah, he's off and running, you know. And he said, and we're going to do it like this way. And he'd always agree with me. I mean, this one, Bill was young. Bill has turned into a grumpy old man. Yes. Do I get it? Evelyn, is that amen? That's a fact. He even disagreed with me on how some things should be done out there. And he brought it up several times. But truthfully, both those guys know that they don't have to walk in lockstep to me, and they show proper respect, and I give them a little elbow room, and they can disagree. Sometimes they're even right. It's hard to believe, but it does happen. Sweat running off the end of my nose, everything going wrong, and after we checked it out, and Debbie's okay, glory to God for that, we're back here working, sweat dropping off my nose, and he disagreed with something. Oh, he's trying to give me a hard time about something again, and I really wasn't in the mood for it. But all things work together for good to them that love God and are the called according to his purpose. Over 500 times in the Bible, we are told to rejoice, trust God, all things work together for good. Lean on God, quit trying to figure everything out. God gives you a mind, that's good. It's not a cult. He doesn't want you to be a robot, but there's some things you just got to obey God. You just trust him. I mean, that's what a good child does with mom or dad, right? You just obey. Sometimes things make sense. Sometimes they don't. Oh, and pray for Brother Bill, because he really is getting grumpier as the day goes by. Verse 29 says, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son." Good news. We're going to be like Jesus. Skip all the way down to verse 36. Verse 37, "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come." Time out right there. Let me just give you this. Here's what we have in Christ. I'm secure. I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I get to serve God. If I join Brother Floyd this week, I have a heart attack and I'm gone on home to heaven while I was here on this earth, I got to serve God. What a privilege. What a privilege. I could have went about making money. That'd have been a waste. We're to follow the will of God in our lives. I get to serve God. I'm secure. Nothing can separate me. And I'm sure. Verse 39. "Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God." Paul is including his readers, the believers there in Rome, and the believers that read this epistle. Neither height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God said, "I am the Lord thy God, and I change not." He's a forever God. Now, that is hard. If you think you're someone that thinks you have to understand everything, explain to me eternity. You can't do it if you're a thinking person. You can't. You can explain 20 years. You can explain 30 years. Some of you old people, your life went by like that. You can't explain that even. You say, "Man, what happened?" You know, all you know is what you've experienced. The rest you take by faith. Eternity. That means forever. That means 10 million years. 10 million years. I can't even comprehend that number. 10 million years from today, I'll still be in God's heaven and the New Jerusalem, enjoying life, eternal life, the real thing, not messed up by the sin curse of this earth that man brought on itself. We serve a great God. I really don't have any specific way to end this message, so I'm going to just stop this morning. But God laid Romans in chapter 8 in my heart, and I don't know if I said anything that helped you. I trust I have. Maybe some of you got a little, you kind of kicked Christ to the curb and you're kind of doing your own thing. Follow God. Follow Christ. He'll work out all the rough spots. Man, I don't have a car right now. You'll work out all the rough spots. It's all going to work out. And, you know, I'm using one of Josh's cars. He did specifically tell me not to let his mom drive that car. God's going to take care of things. Things? Who cares? Just trust God.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.